Fortunately, not as wise as you had. But I have checked with the power of the chief, and there's no norm, no status, no requirement, and I don't think it should be the case, that a chairperson has to read the printed version of the book in session and check. But the printed version of the book, before it actually goes to the printed, is actually exactly as the, that's not been sanctioned by the committee, that is your personal reflection on second thought or your principles. And you're not saying don't do it, it's important because you do it the whole time. You know, at lunch and supper, and then you're reading to your child, you go to the floor to find yourself. So you're very familiar with the book, unlike me, ourselves here. On Christmas Day, Opa Delco, he sits at his Christmas dinner, and he just scores 49A on the committee session. So that's the subject of his conversation. So he knows the appropriate character that we do. In short, you have any new proposals given to us, but given that character, we've discovered four or five places where you've introduced things that have not been. Thank you, by the committee. All right, now, are we agreeing on controls to be replaced by management? Which means elsewhere, I think that is the object of the story, should also be changed, shouldn't it? Somewhere else you've got the word control. I don't know where we'll find it, we'll figure it out. All right, then we have the preamble as it is. Any comments from people?
Yeah. I'm not saying therefore you must do so. I'm
second of the time you need to have, this study should be raised, I think, in the highest level. This is the kid. Because we are consistent. And we guide the general advice. So, if you like, I agree with this. I don't know if most of you agree. On the issue of the preamble, what is the crime? You see, there has been a certain resistance, am I right, on judges, or some judges, to having this told, or to being told that they need education and so on. And what's useful about some of the things, which are not actually in the office, did I say? No, but I need a mandate. You know why? Because then you guys are going to kick it out tomorrow. So I'm just going to tell you some of the things you're going to agree on now. Because it's going to be an endless torturous process. If you're going to do it, then you're going to kick it out and so on. So give us a mandate, a clear mandate. Can we agree that when it's Section 180A of the Constitution provides that naturally, that should be there. What is wrong with saying that one of the reasons you need this, okay, that's what it's going to be, okay. One of the reasons you need this institution is because, like everything else, there's a constant change, and that is carried in the original preamble too. Because whereas laws become more complex and varied, which is very well written here, given it rapidly, I mean, the lawyers don't like admitting it, and it's increasingly influenced by globalization of the legal system. That's not contained at all in the first. Say technology, new insights, and it's very nice. Very, very nice. It provides a context, it's not in the book. Why can't we have that one? What is wrong with the first one that currently, the current version says, the need for education and training of judges, whether as for a newly appointed or experienced, has long been recognized. And that principle is practiced and intense in most judicial systems. But that's true, not because I'll still be saying that it's not even true. Sorry, that's a fact. What is wrong with saying that? And then the reason why we're having this is surely because we want to ensure transformation of the judiciary. So, I would say there's at least four or five of these here things that really, maybe we can shorten, but we should include. It's a context. It's not conveyed in the text of the book. Let's not discuss the legal meaning of the preamble. All of us understand. It has no meaning above that. And let us not jettison it. Let us put on the agenda this broader issue that JG is doing preambles, not for this book, but on an ongoing basis. Maybe in preparation for the new 5-year term. And maybe some consistency throughout the parliament. Sorry, Dr. Delphine?
I just want to make sure that the preamble is not part of the saving a check for one piece. Any suggestions to determine the second half year?
So, what's that?
The half year ratio of a vote.
Yeah.
In other words, the scope of the cost is the broad intention. What was the objective of Parliament when we introduced? Then you can report to the unnecessary interpretation of that. So, that is why I say it's there to put the poll in a particular context. If there's something that's not clear in the text, then it ought to be not only interpreted in terms of the preamble, but even what was the situation before the bill was there, why was the bill introduced, what did it want to achieve, and then you make use of the preamble.
No, we are. I don't think it's a word of difference, for example. We discussed this before, as we have in Finnish community. But there's also another aspect. I don't want to be too narrow and legal in interpretation of this. There's also a political context. And we've done this with other bills where, Herod Sovia, you know him very well, one of the most brilliant guys, was rigorously opposed to the effort. By the time he finished his political and local government position, he swung around and said, actually, you know what, the guys are right. Not that that, therefore, should be a basis for you accepting it. But I think there's also a slight political context. I've referred to the earlier negotiations. Give us a pattern. I'm saying there's four or five of them. Are we agreeing in principle? Yeah. Good, thank you. Okay, then we move on to the definition. And definition 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, we accepted. 6, we accepted. Now, 4 is a 2-12-1. Section 12.1. You say directly means directly appointed under Section 12.1. Can you check that? 15 will fall off. Yes, that is it.
Sure.
Okay. Do we accept it? Now, a judicial officer, explain very quickly what happens here.
You can ask, there wasn't a definition at all. And remember the comment was an issue of the firing judicial officer. It needs to be defined, and this is just a proposal that I can frame for you to consider. Section 174.1 of the Constitution refers to judges and to other judicial officers. In other words, judges and other judicial officers are all judicial officers. And that's the Constitution. Go beyond that, I think. Giving up to the Constitution and stepping into the Constitution by the end of the day.
Thank you, sir. My problem is with the definition of aspirant to judicial officers. Why is it defined within the definition?
We must refer simply to 174. Because 174 says it must be a fit and proper person to be appointed. And it goes on how judges of the Constitutional Court are appointed until it comes to 1747 that says other judicial officers must be appointed to serve in an Act of Parliament. So we must refer not to 1741 if we want to refer to the Constitution, but to section 174 as a whole. Because there are appointments in terms of various sub-clauses, sub-subsections of that language.
I don't think this is the word applied in the definition. I don't know that I get nominated and get appointed, but I don't believe it is the right position.
I
understand what Mr. Jeffrey is saying. My problem is, do we concede that the Constitution doesn't recognize magistrates at all? Because magistrate is used nowhere in the Constitution. The closest the Constitution comes to giving recognition to judicial officers other than judges is in 174. And with regard to what Dr. Delport said, let me just point out 174.1. That's the first time it's used. It says any appropriately qualified woman or man with a fit and proper person may be appointed as a judicial officer. That's the first term, judicial officer. Then it goes on and starts speaking about judges. It says, the need for the judiciary, etc., the other remnants of the presses, the Chief Justice, the Deputy Chief Justice of the ASC, the President and Deputy President of the ACI, the other judges of the Constitutional Court, and the deals with the appointment of judges, and then it goes and saying that other judicial officers must be appointed. Now, my problem is, if we do not understand that judicial officers include magistrates, are we then saying that the Constitution is completely silent on magistrates? I thought originally of looking at the options, because the word must also be given the interpretation that's given in the dictionary interpretation. Now, surely there can't be any doubt that the dictionary judicial officers include that judicial officer. I don't think we need to define it. I think the department, judges, and the legal advisors, anybody that dealt with the Bolet Institute, did not see the need for judicial officers to be defined, because we thought that dictionary interpretation is status magistrate. Anybody is appointed as judicial officer. Then came the request and the feeling now, but we need to define it. So the status that we thought was okay, approaches to the approach that the Constitution should be 1741. But I leave that there for maybe more developed legal minds to consider, and of course for the committee to decide. As far as the application is concerned, I am not too sure. I must concede, I'm not too sure. I do know that the JSC conducts interviews for the appointment of judges. I do know that a magistrate is not appointed unless he or she applies for an appointment as a magistrate. I know that judges are nominated, but if that nomination is sufficient, you do not get interviewed by the JSC, surely, if you are not also willing to take up the position. But maybe members who are on the JSC can help me there, but my common sense is to say that obviously you need to apply, even if you accept the nomination. If you wouldn't go to an interview just on the basis of having been nominated to be appointed as a judge, surely you want to be appointed in that position. But nothing much depends on that, but I'll leave that also in the
committee. That one is quickly unapplied. Is that an appropriate word or not? What does the committee say? Yeah. Why do you need to define the prior judicial officer? The section, the clause is only used in the objective it's used in the establishment of the institute responsible for the training of aspiring judicial officers. I'm not sure where else it's used. But I don't think it's granted any right to anyone. I mean, where one needs to be careful is if somebody can say, well, I am an aspiring judicial officer. I demand that I get trained by this to become a judicial officer. It's not doing that. Okay. It's basically, I would have seen it as broadly empowering the institution to not just train existing judicial officers, but also train people who might come in. And then it's basically largely up to the other instructors. Because you do want to take people who, and it's happening already, I think. There was some training for aspiring women judges. Okay. They've got the intention of at some point hoping that somebody will nominate them, or maybe if they go on the course and people think they will get nominated by somebody else. But really, long story of it is, I don't want more motivation, but I would want to think really to find aspiring. We just have to be ready to train because there's no right to being granted. And I think also on the judicial office of time, I would also thought that maybe we should have stuck it as it was. Because the definition is here, I don't think helpful. I think it's you want to put the definition in so somebody can take the law and see what it applies. The definition here, you've then got to go and look at 154 of the Constitution and then you get hell of a confused as to what's going on. Whereas if the assumption would be, okay, everybody knows as of the Constitution, I mean judicial office is not defined as the Constitution, but everybody knows what it's I would actually go take a look at that.
I agree with that book. I would have thought that it's not meant to be defined either to be or to be defined. In doubt, to look at the definition in the field.
Why do we come to
you? Yes, there was a comment, I think, by was wasn't those, it was by yeah, there was a comment by one of the submissions, and yes, no, that's just a proposal that I've made. It used to say this act includes theft guidelines. But the guideline provision, I think it used to be 15, now it's 15. It says the minister may issue guidelines. If you say the guidelines, it suppose that they will definitely be not necessarily that they will be guidelines.
And I don't know what it means.
Not the word itself, you know, but I'm looking at the schedule. I'm trying to keep it the organization. It says that the court and all legislation, etc., etc., must be rationalized with the view to establishing the court issues for some physics in chapter 8. And in that sense, that could be, I do struggle with all kinds of elements of transformation involved. But now let me know. If I can think of anything else, I'll write it later.
This is probably appropriate to the engagement with the judges, that's right? And there is the word. And this is the view of the majority party. It is the policy of the government in power. And it is a term that's been used and has been used for a long while now, at least in the public domain. The newspapers, as I understand it, you know more about it tonight. It's about ensuring racial infinity, not gender and demographics. It's about deliberately ensuring that the judges appropriate and internalize the values of the new constitution. So, in other words, they themselves have become forced. Whether they newly appointed post-1994 judges or old order judges make no difference. They have gone through an education system at the university. Even the post-1994 law, they may not be necessarily consistent with the values of the constitution. Transformation, I think, in many other respects too. So I fear Dr. Belfort will have to disagree on this. And this is the term that I suspect is going to be legislated on.
Yes, please do.
Okay, we'll give you the we can roll it out.
Comment, improve rather than promote. Since people have no view, you and I will have to decide. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually quite happy to speak to you about that. I'm always translating into the comments, thinking that there was a difference between the comments. Yes, that is a conceding, that is conceding the truth. It can be improvement, or whereas promote can actually mean to perform it, to make it,
do more than improve. Okay,
let's leave it for
no, I don't agree with that at all. It is bad, actually. Not at all. No, they are fundamentally disciplined. Then I'm really saying maybe we should put in proof, but I'll forego it. No, it is bad. We're not saying what, this problem we really should not have. When things are bad and we say that, look at the annual report of the department last week. I'm told, by the way, that carte blanche, is that how you say that? Yeah. Of course, I can close the on Monday, on Sunday, even, was on the department's annual report. You know about it. And I found by somebody. I didn't see, they didn't see the program. The first item on the news, when the report came out, I remember SAG September got initiated, was the annual report of the department. And we are part of it. We can't stand it. This is the ANC policy that things are bad and we need to improve. We get our guidelines and the majority party from that. We shouldn't hide it. But I think you mean by promote more than improve. And if that's the argument, it's sustainable. But the disguising the legislation, can I just alert members? It's not going to happen. Not under my system to say this. Promote is obviously a type of grassroots stuff, as you said the other day. Okay, so we approve it without to render such a system. Now, this is what we suggested, to curb, if you like, a flagrant use of this particular function. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Good. So can members comment on the amended version?
Sorry, can I just take you back to 8265 and may not be back here and just draw my attention to the fact that there needs to be an S to enter into contracts that's been removed. Yes, and then also to publish the 8265 in terms of applications with this other application, but that's also been removed and that is not being inserted elsewhere. That is correct, yeah.
Yes.
we have come as a compromise. The minister in consultation with the Chief Justice. And we spelled out the reasons last week and I won't cover it. Okay. So if they go through it basically, second one, you now, I call it an N, it's a new thing uses. Which was not mandated by us. The first line, he didn't ask you to do this, but it's fine.
Yes, sir, that's a systematic.
Yeah, then we'll put that in italics, the same as the fact, yeah. Then we know that's your proposal, which is but it's not ours. So now, second one, the first line is that the department's proposal makes sense. That to move the Chief Justice as a member next year that comprises the Chief Justice as a chairman. Right? Then why don't you put the Deputy Chief Justice as Deputy Chairman in the same line? And then the members would be a minister, blah, 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 a judge and so on. Wouldn't that make more sense? To include in the leading sentence also the Deputy Chief Justice as Deputy Chairman. Am I making sense?
I'm sure it will make no difference to you. It's not better.
Let's do that because it's more coherent. Do you understand what it thinks that when you bring up the issue part? That you see, it's now reading the council comprises the Chief Justice of the following members. The Deputy Chief Justice of the Deputy Chairman. I'm saying put it into the first line. It's now reading the council comprises the Chief Justice of the Chairperson. And the Deputy Chief Justice, the Deputy Chairperson, and the following members, and then you start with the Minister, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Yeah, but because he's done what he's done, yeah. That's the other option. But if he's doing that, now that's the point I'm making. See, you either retain what we had, or you move the Deputy, you can't have it broken up like. So we must decide. Now the committee must decide what do you want. These are two options. Just leave it at the
I think the act constituting the constitutional court is the fixed in terms of parties as itself. They need the process of the Chief Justice and the Deputy Chief Justice and the following and the judge. So maybe we retain that.
But once he's nominated, there must also be an appointment. First, he's even nominated.
Judges, presidents, and two other judges, at least one of them must be a woman designated by the Chief Justice after consultation. Judges, presidents, any comments? Roger, because this part of the bill is going swimmingly. G. Oh, this
is. Yeah, I just wanted to understand why some of the judges were.
Yeah, I think it's maybe a question of numbers. There are too many of them.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
think presently the problems with different divisions are different, and the major issue stage for different institutions, you might need all the GPs. We've got five major points.
I think you're going to be
That means it's not members of legislature, either provincial or national, not members of the municipal council. Really, all those people that can in the Senate Commission make a report for the nation, it's not one of those people. It's not public servants. And it's designated by the Minister of Consultation to Chief Justice. At one place I thought of saying Minister of Consultation to the Chief Law. I was considering the President appoint people, four people to the JC, but I do not think then, well, you might want to consider whether the President should be involved in any nomination on this council. I didn't think sufficiently important to be involved in that office there. But it is a bit of a problem. Even the original wording, personally, I find it very difficult to say that you've got people representing the public. The public is almost impossible to define. And then to get somebody to nominate or designate that person to act there on behalf of the public, my common sense is the state to me, but surely that's your elected public representative. Then you might well argue that shouldn't be members of parliament or one of those legislators, etc., because they're really the only people who are formally representing the public in any respect. Otherwise, you can turn to the church leaders and those things, but it becomes very contentious when you start thinking along those lines. So this is the best I could come up with the circumstances, which is the minister may exercise the discretion of the minister to be the executive. Obviously, she's an elected representative of the executive, so at least she has a hand and from population services. The other question, sorry, just one last thing to you, and I had a discussion with David Santana about it, and I asked him, but what do you want to do? What contribution, what value did you envisage these two persons adding to the council? And I'm having fun. David Santana is one of the departmental representatives who helped to negotiate with the government on this. And he wasn't sure, because I suggested to him, but if you want to, if you're telling me that you want some business to start, maybe to help with financial running of a council, or those kind of things, it would make more sense, and maybe we should think along those lines. But I thought it was very, very broadly put, originally, it was difficult to fathom the value that we should have to do. They're not there, it's washed off, obviously. Of course, this is an indication of body being attached. But they do not have to represent public interest or anything like that. They make a contribution.
In the recent challenge, what you just said there, okay, with respect to one, we asked you to say who would nominate. So you said the minister, after consultation with the Chief Justice and the South African Rural Deeds Association. I'm not sure why, because that's the Rural Deeds
Association. I think when you're looking at the wrong version, so this morning, it doesn't have this.
Oh, yeah, okay. It doesn't have that. I can only look at the version I looked at last night. Half of you start reading the version. So we must agree on that. Without the only step down. Okay. So that's the one thing that's going to be. Look, I can't even look at that today because I've spent an hour and a half working on it. So we must agree on that. Can we agree on processes that it's wrong for people to read and then come back the next morning to read again? Because I'm going to stop you all my notes. So we must agree on this one. The process would be by the Friday CC in the week. The bill is given to me and to Lolly. Lolly sends it out. If there are any changes between the Friday and the Tuesday morning, that'll come on a separate page, you know? Because, you know, I read this thing on a Monday night, and really, I don't have the time or energy reading. Okay, so basically, let's come back to this. Firstly, there's no South African law to use associated with that problem. Point two. In legislation, we have come across as repeated. The word public is used. Many times, not just in the disaster service, which is understood by the word public as used on those things, that it means somebody who is not a member of parliament or a public representative who is not quite and not a civil servant.
only use all the legislation. Why, therefore, are you seeking now to make it like this? I mean, how can you know this? This is a puzzling, because it is never meant to be understood by the use of the word public. A public representative or a civil servant. I don't recall a single occasion since 1994 that it was understood to do that. So why are you so determined to have this definition? Then there's a more fundamental thing you haven't answered. What exactly does this person say? Why do they want two members of the public sector? What do they do? Because if they want a person with business expertise, you can say at least one of whom has business expertise. What did he say? You didn't tell us exactly what he said. So before we come to you, let's clarify what the thing said.
Yeah, in fact, they must still get back to me. He's in the second. No, he's still discussing with the director general. Possibly like at this moment, because I gave him a call about an hour ago to remind him of this issue. But they will get back to me.
It's also that instead of legislation, we often get this thing from the parties. And let's be honest, we ask why, and then we are told where, you know, we'll come back to you. But the why must be explained on day one. When you take us through the phone, and you brief, what's the first term of the phone? Is a briefing on the phone. The why must be asked to take. So can you, in future, you ask to do the pictures, ask me questions daily, I find that you think of the issues that you need to point to. Can you be very quick? Basically, even if you don't know why you want to members of the public, it just sounds, doesn't it, resonate with us that they should be members of the public. It does. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yes, good. You should have a thing. You got it there. Good. All right, here we go. Presumably they can be included beyond this definition. Once you leave Parliament, let's say I don't get re-elected in 2009, then I can be considered a member of the public, you know, is that correct? So,
I think you're correct, but I'm not too sure whether we can categorically state that if you say public in the law, it will always exclude members of Parliament and, well, members of Parliament, really, but civil servants. My big problem was, am I now a member of the public or not? And the kind of questions that now arise, as you just mentioned, you now retire. You're not a member of Parliament anymore, but you might still be an ANC official or whatever party. Are you a member of the public or not? That's why I'm short.
We have to be consistent. We've used the word public in lots of legislation since 1994. We've always understood it to mean somebody who's neither a functioning member of Parliament, an existing member of Parliament, or an existing civil servant. So if I'm a teacher, and then my son comes to me and I decide to go into business, then I'm a member of the public. And while I'm a teacher, I'm a student. But all I'm simply saying is, what do members say? Let's start with Len, and then probably Margalisha and
Thank you, Chair. I'm not clear on this.
Because I think special conveyance we should be in line with our agenda, because in this case we have a lot of judges, we have magistrates, we have all these lawyers. Yes, we've got 14. But it is important that also ordinary people be there. And what Mr. Dilanga has, I think the way he has written it, I think I think about it. Because it specifically excludes those who are not ordinary people. That is the in terms of those people who are public representatives and those who are public servants, because also you don't want a situation where a minister can appoint some of his or her some people to show that you want people from the civil society to be part of this. Maybe we might consider the issue of maybe compensation is not like what happened, whether this was a civil society. But I think it's a very progressive move to have people from the civil society being included.
So that's how I understand the process. What people are saying, and I think I agree. No, I think I do. Sorry, you want to
say something? Sure, I just want to say something about involving the administration of justice. I'm not sure what they're trying to prohibit. Are they trying to prohibit those people working? That is the case, and they should say employing that administration of justice. Because I, as an attorney, I consider myself being involved in that administration of justice. These are things trying to exclude me. If I don't get into the law society, then I'm not perhaps coming through assuming I wasn't a public officer. If the law society didn't designate me, then I'm not perhaps coming through the back door.
I think the idea is to prevent it. You've got a representation. You see, if you listen to Bulalami and Mamasali, what they are saying is it should be two ordinary lay people in it. And this is consistent, as Mamasali says, in the Magistrate Commission. It's consistent with other civil associations, but we allow the public. They don't have to have particular skills, but it's about accountability. The judges are ultimately accountable to the public, not for the adjudication of judicial decisions, but for the performance overall, the way they perform. So I think that we agree in principle that it should be non-lawyers, non-justice activists, or whatever, they are justice administration. So that's what we say. So you are unhappy with the policy, okay?
No, I'm not unhappy. I'm just saying that they must not oppose that issue.
Why not?
It should be clear. I mean, it should quite late people in that justice. I mean, it should not, I mean, late people that are involved in paralegal. Paralegal work. Now, surely don't want to exclude those people that are working. Paralegal.
Because you see, if you listen to what I'm saying, they're saying, can you please make a list of that we can be going for it, whether they are working as officials in a paralegal office or whether they're high powered lawyers. They're coming, this is for ordinary humans and ladies. That's what they're talking about. Okay. So the issue is not a policy. The men are not going to be fine. The men are not going to be fine. But in this
I think in fact, what they are saying, right, is that we want exactly what probably Polidani and do you want to say something to that?
So basically,
we can ask you to undefine the wording, right? But I think the policy issue is that we're saying it should be two ordinary members of the public, as is used in legislation in Parliament in 1994, and probably even before. Now, if the word two persons, two members of the public who are not involved in the administration of justice doesn't cover it as civil service, then we need to find some other wording. But now there's a difference in this committee, and I'm not going to die in a ditch about it. Personally, I think the word public is fine, but there's some people who disagree, so hey, you know what, I don't really mind. It's fine, let's leave it like that, but it is very long and wordy, and presumably from now on, Johan, forever and ever, this committee, so long as it exists,
and where the chairs is. We never know where these things are, but tomorrow we'll be chairing here, but it's bound by this now. We can never use the word public again. You are setting a precedent for this committee. So understand that next time, this committee can't suddenly go back to the word public. Okay? So, let's be clear about what we are doing. In other words, we are jettisoning the term public, because it's not clear enough, and forever and ever now, we are going to use this long formulation. Right? You're creating history in Parliament, I want to alert you, and so is this committee. So, you understand the implications. I'm not threatening you, I just feel that the word public is fine. If it wasn't fine, then let's change it throughout the legislation of this Parliament. But you want to mull over that, or you want greater guidance from the committee? Then before you answer, is the committee wanting to say anything first? Have you ever come across a case where a minister appointed somebody who is a public servant, civil servant, something like that, or a member of parliament in the context where he or she was asked to appoint two or three members or whatever of the public? Has it ever happened?
No, not as far as I know, sure, although I'm not getting involved with that, not my line of work, but I can say that I'm not involved with that. I personally don't have a problem with the public, and we do use the word, yes. So we can look at it.
Have you ever come across a case where ministers appointed them?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
The policy is interesting. We're really not going to come back to you. We have agreed on those things, we should move on. We mean exactly what we said. And that's what will allow you to civil society or ordinary members of the public who are not involved in the administration of justice. Now, if your department comes with something earth-shattering with you about why it is they put this in, it's too late for us now, we're going to move on. You've had this bill for a long time, you still don't know why you put this thing, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, we're giving you guidance, and we're saying to you, I'm very quickly, that unless you come with something earth-shattering with you, this is our position. If you came to us and said, one of the reasons you want business expertise and so on, I don't think you're going to agree with that, are we? Because we are saying, no, we just want two civil citizens. Doesn't matter what their skills are. The minister can, if she so decides, look for a particular skill. We're not precluding it, but we're not insisting it. So we say no to anything further. It's too late now. We need to move on. And we are agreeing on that. You want to say something on quickly?
Okay. I think when we stick to the original version, we have two other members. You might be members of the public, not involved in the administration of justice. I gather that you are a dinner. Maybe we can just get a second. How are they going to identify your public?
We assist them. Identify let me go to the end. No, we've settled them. Then it goes to the subject. Now, it's just to see what happens. We just check that the process is going to be connected. I can see what's going on there. It seems to be that the dose is not getting there. In terms of dose, it's only the one that's getting there.
Some of them are designated by people other than the chief justice, and for any need specific, the others are designated by the chief justice in the itself. That's why you need to think about that. You must bring the chief and be designated, but you must be concerned about it. In other words, you must consult the end of that chief.
I think God is right to say both are right. He just reads easier to the ear. But you are right and John is right. And frankly, both of you are right. So we can put a stroke if you like. But I think Constance reads better. What do you think she said, Lord, by the King of Life?
I would prefer to go back to language first and come back with the correct.
By the way, why do you keep changing? You know, like, it's not possible for the same person to come until the village comes. I've raised it with Elder Daniel, actually, because the problem with the Israel was the last day, somebody else came and did not inform the people who processed the talk. That look, there were two further amendments made on that. Now, you know, we worked very hard on that, so, partly because I was counsel, or I'm sorry, moved to the committee. And I have finished that process here on that commission. And it's immensely frustrating these things happen. I think Fatima and your committee is even more frustrated than I am, because I believe that there's a lot of amendments. This is still a sexual offense that's been proposed. You know, this can be in the printed version, a whole lot of amendments that are going to come back to this committee and so on. This is really not honest. Really not honest. But let's discuss that outside this meeting. Let's move on to the next one. So we don't have options for now. It says state law advisor will decide. Well, we're not deciding to advise. Number three. Now, this is straightforward. Any questions? Even the Imam has got a question, I think. I'm leaving the Imam. Just take me seriously. Four. This is what we said and we've done. Thank you.
5 we accepted last week, 5 we understand more. Is anybody got anything, something new, earth shattering in this sense? Yep, good, thank you. Synergies of the council. Right, 9-1-A we accepted, then B you made a change. Eh? Oversight is it all or over?
You suggested the last mechanism must be overshoot. That's why
it's going to be. But anyway, it's fine. Is it right? Oversight overshoot did not run.
Again, Jefferson, I don't want to give my answer, the answer to the languages, but I, to such questions, I would, can I come back and give the correct answer?
Yeah, okay, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. I mean, you know, okay, budget and finance we accept, personnel, management we accept, yes, administration we accept. Okay, 2. Now, 2A and B is as it was last week and we agreed to it. Is that correct, John? Okay, so unless somebody's got something unacceptable in you, no? Okay, 3. Now here is a grammatical glitch, right? Is that correct? I mean, read it. The members of the standing or other committee may be members of council or may be co-opted for that purpose by council. You've got a comma. You see a full stop for the majority of the members of the committee that's members of council. Is the comma fine?
That is really a survivor.
So the comma is correct. What is your name? Sorry, I didn't get the name. You
want. My name is Herman Smuts, chairperson. Smuts.
Look, there's a norm here. Before I started my class, I didn't know the other meetings.
Sorry, I didn't see.
Ah, sorry, I didn't have to do one. I see the norm here, since you use it as is we call each other by first name.
Yes,
that's right. Except where there are people who are asked, or if there's a traditional leader, you know, people insist on being Mr. Let's say we follow them. Would you mind if I call you Herman?
No,
okay, Herman. Who will help us with that? Come on. Is that fine?
Yes, Chairperson. Certainly I would make it 2 sentences, a paragraph A and a B.
Shall we just make it 2 sentences? I mean, do you ever speak really strongly about it? No.
I do. Then can start with provider sentence, or if you share that it's provider.
Yeah, provider.
Okay.
Alright, let's do it like that. Thank you. Let's move on. Carol, don't just say it. 4. You're moving fast. Look, you're on page 5, Carol. Tomorrow you have nothing to do. You'll be bored. Imagine. No meeting on a Wednesday. Just committee doesn't meet on a Wednesday. Wow. So let's call a press conference. Sub 4. Decisions of any committee are subject to the approval of the council. Ah, this is what he proposed to me, but can I raise a question, Leslie? Surely, not surely, can I put something to the question last night? And if it's not okay, it's not okay. But it just struck me. Should the decisions of the standing or other committee not be ratified by the executive committee? And then all decisions of the executive committee are subject to the approval of the council. Rather than having all the standing committees and other committees decisions being ratified by the council. Now, suppose that this is to ask a higher question, which is, what is the hierarchy? There's the council, right? Yeah. Then there's the executive committee. And then below, it is not the parallel word, but below the executive committee are standing or other committees. So then if that's the case, the standing other committee should have their decisions ratified where necessary by the executive committee. And only decisions of the executive committee need to be subject to approval of the council. If you first clarify to us what is the intention of the structure, or what is the structure. It's not a hierarchical one. Standing other committees is above it, executive committee above it, council above it.
This sub 4 was requested by the committee at the last meeting. I thought in the meanwhile that maybe we should just stop. There are other examples where you simply put the caveat in that any decision by any committee may be overturned or set aside by a council or subcommittee. Then you would avoid the need for any committee to act in all instances without first seeking the approval of the council. I think otherwise, it's sort of a secret purpose. The council appoint committee to do its work for them, but then my point is getting to the end yet again.
Intended, but there's a formulation too tight that you should change it. It's exactly what it is intended. Tell me about that. council may further appoint the judges, right? The council's point is, it's not that hierarchy that I thought. But go ahead, anybody else wants to comment? Yeah, so I think, Jim, come on in for a minute.
What will the executive committee do?
Being super-scripted. So the executive committee will act as an executive judge in all structures. Is that right, John? We don't want to spell out precisely what it does. We don't want to be super-scripted. That's correct. But how can we learn questions about CG?
That's what the committee decided previously. Remember, one of the common terms was that we should define what the committee shall be used to be. The committee themselves, but they do not want to be prescriptive.
So we don't have to, at least the whole lot of debate we had around finding the balance between providing a framework and not being overly prescriptive. So that's how we struck the balance.
I appreciate that, and I accept that I wasn't part of that debate, but are we not going to find ourselves a problem later on where council says yes, but you exco, you've exceeded your powers, and they're not even prescribed, arrogated to yourself powers that you don't deserve. Just a thought.
No, no, you're free to ask that. That question was posed before too. Can you just remind us what was the answer to that? The question really is the one Johan raises. He meant exactly what he said, but he says the formulation is too strong. So, you want to change decisions of any committee as subject to the approval of the council? I thought it should mean precisely what he's saying, which is that where the council sees that a committee has taken a decision that it doesn't approve of, it would say no. But if you think that's too strong, then perhaps we should review it. Rama?
Yes, I agree. I think when things compare it with delegation, it's more of a, as Johan pointed out, the committee trusts the board trusts the committee to do certain work, but if the council is not happy, it can overturn that, and we can formulate something on that third line.
So that
would be
saying, forego four and loosen it. Okay, so we might need the two of you to thank you. So we loosen four, we say what Johan is saying and what we intended, and we think that the proposal here is a bit too tough, as it is. Okay, so move on. Okay, powers and duties of the council. Now here, I've been reading it again last night, Johan, you will never convince me that the may is correct, but we agree to it, so I shall die in the ditch. This council may do all that is necessary. I mean, it must do all that is necessary. I mean, let's not, I've got 15 to the next stage. I've accepted grace to it, but my blood is right. I said, yeah, well, I'm just telling you, I just don't agree. It's an absurd sentence. And one day, somebody will acknowledge that, you know, 20 years ago, so what is the commission here that said it's nonsensical? It is nonsensical. Well, outside this meeting, Imam, I want to discuss this thing. This is nonsensical. Can I just use this nonsensical sentence? Council may, not must, may do all that is necessary. So it has a choice. Incidental to or expedient in order to achieve the object of act. So you know what I'm going to do? If I'm in this council and I appear before this committee, just 1 second, Mrs. Just 1 second. I just want to finish my sentence. And people say to me, why did you perform here? I'm saying, no, but you said I made you all the decisions. You didn't say I must do all the decisions. And I didn't, because you told me I'm ready. I have the choice. Complete,
Yes, yeah, I do agree that we should change this next month. Because we are now thinking of new ways.
They gave us a good, strong argument, and it says that may in fact does mean must in this context legal.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it means that legal, but you were being a subscriber before, and you know, we like user friendly. So I really would like to discuss this with you over lunch. Mrs. Merucci, you and I, we will set up a minority. I will always acknowledge you and say there was another member, it's not the JD. Part is annoying, right? Because he agrees with this nonsense, right? Dr. Jalpott's got a legal background, so they agree with this nonsense. But you and I, being ordinary lay people, we know that may and must be something different in any language, okay? Right? Can we note in our report that, I'm not saying this, but this is Merucci and the chair, forget the thesis. And they would like to see the nonsense. Oh, I thought because we finished at 4:12 to get to the house, we were once in the
See, I wasn't here when the argument was being set up for minority front. No, it's right. Unfortunately, Chair, I'm down by the word. Chair, it's a historical thing, but in the interest of law, you probably heard it from my colleague. This may be good news, but I agree with you, Chair. That's something inherited. And why must we interpret this thing in this funny way? Because that's not really what we do. We speak normal English. And what we are saying is that this thing is what must be done. So what we are speaking to the old order terminology now. And I think my colleagues are running to the Constitution as a reminder that we have But I am all for changing the manner in which we write the law, so the people that need to understand the thing get very confused when they read this label here. So I agree with the must thing in this in my personal capacity, I would agree, but in my professional capacity, I'm not going to
the former chair of local government.
And public
interest. Well, no, but this is a local government matter. You obviously had some dealings with it. You know, a municipality of powers and functions of the municipality, 156(2). A municipality may make an appeal to bylaws.
No,
because the Constitution, I recognize that's great, because that's exactly the debate we have about may and must. And I must tell you, that must was used in the ordinary sense of the word. That is a very good example of where may is correct, because the National Constitution sets out original powers and functions for local government, and therefore is thought not to be subjective. So why I'm very familiar with the May Must today is because we were constantly hamstrung in national legislation by the fact that we could not prescribe because we challenged constitutionally for local government. So that's a very good example, as he maybe doesn't realize it, of actually belonging unconsciously to the minority front. Dr. Belfort?
Thank you. Now here I may require the zero. So this could be on A1 and 2, and if you need to continue, you propose to the definition you're trying to take out that one, and then you move that something else. Is that right? Can you fix it?
Very correct.
You move that one to the next part.
That was actually removed completely. That was removed
on 6 months. Okay, then we move on to top 3. We remove the top of the outside, the word S and magistrate.
Why is that? How is that? The S refers to the magistrate commission.
We remove that word. Yes, not
the top is top 3.
Yeah.
In and of themselves, we're not sure how much they account to their respective structures. Is that right, Johan? And secondly, with an institutional relationship which is complementary to, not a substitute for, having. Three, it's been done in lots of other legislations. Four, we do it with our political structures and so on, and the all the Islamic organizations we're in, and the organizations I serve in the community and whatever, so it's not inconsistent. But am I saying anything wrong, or do you want to add to what I've just said, Johan?
No, I think you should do it.
That's a good question you raised. But you're right, you raised it. Let me find out what I said. Any other comments on that?
No.
Okay, can I just suggest something also to you? Thanks, Imam, you stipulate something. You know, in the memorandum, you mentioned there in 1.1 of the memorandum, right? It's not attached to the current text we have, but it's just that committee you have proposed that the NPA, National Prosecuting Authority, also be included in the Council of the Institute. But in the section where you deal with who composes the Council, you leave out the MPA. Is there any specific reason for that? Composition of the Council, you leave the MPA out. You've included almost all the other, if not all the other categories proposed by that panel. Did you leave the MPA out? Sorry? You've mentioned it. With MPA. Is it mentioned?
No, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking why you accepted the panel's proposal. It's a policy issue. You accepted the panel's proposal on all these other people or structures or institutes that should be represented on the council. But you let the MPA out. Is there any reason for that?
Yeah, so I think that is probably a remnant. The word is saying we had a combined vote with both the remember the chapter called that one that dealt with the colloquium. And I think when they separated the two boards, they actually provided with an oversight as far as the optics and those concerns, because there's a separate board now being developed for the existing justice college. They will also serve the NPA and the prosecution, etc. And I think this is a good issue for oversight.
What do you
think? That the NPA, they will be covered by the other
board.
M refers to the public, is that right?
Yes.
So, would it be correct to say that the NPA is not being included, that was a policy decision of the department?
And the NPA itself.
I just want to clarify here. Any comments about it?
No.
Then we move on. Right, then we move on to the administration of the institute.
I can maybe just explain this is a new thought. Remember that we chopped it off from the earlier so the functions of the council, the old source 5. And this is just a further behind the that we chopped it off.
Now, this is
more
of
the
Council of
Under the one part, and then it was decided that it's inappropriate, then it should be moved down to sub 2.
They won't kill us to have it.
But then sub 2 was, became a new clause, but bearing in mind that clause that we just had the discussion about, one could argue that if they want to do those things, they must enter into these contracts. But we've fortunately given them the power to increase my thing that they may never do this.
Now, the council has appointed the director for a determined term. Can I ask you a simple question? You don't want to say a minimum number of years, you don't want to be simply strict with that time. Yeah, okay, let's leave it. And on such positions, it's not very simple. That's fine. Two, we've already agreed with. Three, we've agreed with. Yeah, that's right.
Maybe members would like to look at the comments. They just have to register the comments here before the process is necessary.
Yeah, but this is flagged last week. And the study group has not come to any position on this issue. And we will do so tomorrow. But to assist the study group on the ANC side and other parties who speak for themselves and others, just explain to us what the issues are. As I remember the issue here, Bulalani raised the issue. You said the problem with that original formulation is that it means that an existing judicial officer could be the director of the institute. And then that director appears before a parliamentary committee and is hammered for not performing. And it reflects on the dignity of the judicial officer. So you cannot have a performing judicial officer be a director. Is that right, Bulalani? What is your argument? Is there something else you offer? Because you spoke for a while, there's another argument you offered, and you remember what it was. For one thing, there was an argument. And the committee agreed with you, and therefore, we must get clarity on that. Firstly, are we saying that, say if I'm a judge, right, or a magistrate, I apply for this job, I can't get the job, I can't even apply for it. Because if I get the job, and then I serve a 5-year term, and I do a very bad job, because I'm not an administrator, I'm a teacher and an adjudicator, then I want to go back to be a judge, and I want to go back to be a magistrate. But while I was serving for 5 years as a director of the institute, I mismanaged, I didn't embezzle, I just mismanaged my responsibility. And then my credibility is at issue. Well, that's the whole argument, right, Kevin? Was that right? Okay, that's the argument. On the issue of the argument, not what's there. What do members say? Ginny, you probably, Dr. Delphi?
All I can say is that private judges are morally
I thought he was looking for a job.
Why are you coming?
I'm trying to work out what was intended. I mean, quite clearly, you didn't want somebody who an active judge or an active
right.
Big on that. Big deal on that. But I mean, what about a case where X is appointed to judge? Whoever, the chief judge, that looks discuss against the judge. I really want you to take this approach of director for 5 years. Set up the same rules. We're running problems. You know, we get to there sometimes. See their conflicts. Know what they need and what they not need. So just go in. Please take this thing for 5 years. After 5 years, come back and be a judge. Now, we want to provide for that. It's the same with the 5 for magistrates. As well, get to the next thing, you know, and the indication is he's not going to die as director of the institute. He's going to go for 5 years and come back. Now, we want to allow for that. Is the wording going to actually allow for that? Because look, the way the wording is promoted, I don't know.
People are saying exactly the opposite of what you said. The committee itself shouldn't be allowed for that. You can take a 5-year period off. From being an existing judicial officer and serve this role for the reasons that Bulalani and Cameron and others set out. Can I just say, stand because the two of you presented the case?
And the point that I wanted to raise was Judge Palumbo of the legal aid board. I think you need the something that I can do.
He's not the CEO, he's the chairperson of the board.
That's different.
Yeah, I mean, the chairperson of the board, that's different. This is the CEO.
Chairperson, I think this law must be consistent, this case must be consistent with the deal that the Judicial Services Commission government did. And in that case, in that case, we are saying that a judge cannot maintain an employment except his office or her office as a judge. But what the Honorable John Jesse is saying is that this person is...
Because what?
Because what he is raising is that Judge Karim will be approached by a case like this to take this person for 5 years. And you think he does. And the argument will be, he wants to say, let's say, 2 years in your term as a director, that a judge of the High Court, who is now a director, needs approaching the fund. But a judicial officer, he is a magistrate, unless that person resigns, he or she cannot see a director. As I said, then I don't see the necessity of this clause at all.
Tomorrow we have to go into the sea land. If I try to negotiate and see whether we could decide, but we don't know. We have to go. The aim to study group and the evening for 5 minutes. But we really have to take a decision. So, can you gently ask people to leave as soon as possible so that we can start our study group? It will not take more than 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.